Orange Church to go downstairs with Miss Kathy. If you are here for the first time, that is ages 5 to 8. And nobody's going back there. Okay, one is there, okay, Miss Kathy. Okay, so I think the atmosphere has been right, thank God. It's been very encouraging. And so the message today is just like Jesus, a compassionate heart. And so before Pastor comes up, I'm going to read Matthew 8, 1 to 4. If you have a Bible, if you don't have one, there's a lot of Bibles back there. And so you can follow as I read Matthew 8, 1 to 4. When he came down from the mountainside, large crowd followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Pastor?
Thank you, Brother Batwin. Thank you all for your prayers. If you have to be sick, this is the way to do it, because I don't feel bad at all. I feel fine, but I don't sound so great. So I feel bad for you that you have to struggle through my bad throat. But if you have questions or if something isn't clear, just let me know, and we'll try to make things clear. If we were reading the book of Matthew from beginning to end, the way that it was written, with no verses and no chapters, we would more easily notice that this little few verses Brother Betwin read for us comes immediately after the most famous sermon ever delivered on earth, the Sermon on the Mount. So when our text told us when he came down from the mountainside, that was from the Sermon on the Mount. Now, you need to, I hope you will, you don't need to, but I hope you will think of that then as many, many, many people have heard Jesus utter the most profound truths that have ever been heard on earth. You'll never have that feeling here in my sermon. This was amazing what Jesus had said. They may have been awestruck. And we know for a fact that many people, crowds, large crowds followed him. If you have one large crowd following you, that's quite a deal. It says many large crowds followed him. People maybe who heard the sermon went and told somebody else who wasn't there, "You've got to hear this guy. This guy is great." They maybe didn't know at the time that he was the Son of God, but they knew what he had said. We're not told directly here, but elsewhere we're told that whenever Jesus taught, people knew it was somehow different, more and better than the priests and the Sadducees had spoken. They knew it was awesome. So, in a sense, we're trying to paint a picture of, wow, how would you feel if you just heard the Sermon on the Mount? And you follow after the guy, and then almost out of nowhere, surprise, this leper shows up. Now, everyone in the original audience, everyone in those many crowds, would have probably started with the attitude of, "What's he doing here? Why is he here? Lepers are supposed to stay away from the rest of us. They're certainly supposed to stay away from great teachers. What's he doing here?" But we're not told about that part. I mean, we know from how lepers interacted in the community that that's fairly likely. But here, out of nowhere, a man with leprosy came to him and knelt before him. And you need we need to think a little bit about him. This is a person who epitomized physical and ritual uncleanness. Everybody who saw him, anywhere they saw him, well, they had a rule. He was supposed to shout out, unclean, unclean. Stay back. Stay away from me. I'm not clean. You can't, you know, I don't know if you can catch what I have in my sore throat. I don't want you to, but it's not that catchy. But leprosy in their day, although we now know it was very curable, we also know it was very catchy. And if you shook hands with him during our greeting time, you probably get what he has. He had to stay away, stay back, unclean. And the whole religious establishment of their day also saw that as a spiritual uncleanness. Somehow they thought that he must be somehow bad to get this leprosy. And so we don't want to go around that either. We don't want to be around the badness that caused his problems. They were ostracized from society and lived in leper colonies. And those leper colonies actually still exist in many parts of the world today. But the closest comparison most of us would be familiar with today is the AIDS epidemic. Many Bible readers may not realize that leprosy, which plagued humanity for some 4,000 years, is curable. It's completely curable. Modern medicine has found the cure. Of course, it is what God allowed us to find the cure to this disease by his power. But in the days of Jesus' earthly ministry, leprosy had gained this terrible reputation for over 2,000 years and was considered totally communicable by any and every touch. Let me say that again, because that's important. Even a touch. And it was considered, we don't know if it really was, but it was considered even a little touch. And you would catch it. You'd have it. And then you would become unclean. And then you would be ostracized by your society. And everybody would stay away from you and no one would ever touch you if you got the disease. Imagine habits and behaviors 8 times older than our own nation's history. Often lepers had to wear a bell around their neck to warn bypassers of their condition. As I mentioned, oftentimes they were required by pain of death to call out that they were unclean. Leper, unclean, stay away. They were not just physically unclean, as I said, but spiritually unclean and untouchable. They carried a cross none of us could bear. They suffered incredible loneliness and alienation. They had to stay away from their own family and friends, their own children or grandchildren. They had to stay away from their entire culture. They were not physically, but very real, in a very real sense, cast aside, out of sight. No thought of them. Given all of that, then, you can see that this leper displayed a great amount of audacity to mingle in this large crowd. Apparently defiant of the laws in Leviticus 13:46. Excuse me. Can somebody in the back get me a glass of water? That might help me do better here. Batwin will do that. Thank you, Batwin. All of Leviticus 13 gave laws regarding lepers, although the terms used here also embrace a wide variety of other infectious skin diseases. And there are some diseases that were called leprosy that if you put an ointment on it, it clears up and you're well again. So there was a wide mixture of things that were considered leprosy, but there were some various, very serious infectious skin diseases. We don't know for sure if this man was afflicted with what we today know as Hansen's disease. That's the most common and most famous version of leprosy. But now, I don't always do this, but I want to quote Max Lucado because he speculates a little bit how it would be from his point of view to live as a leper in that day and age. Listen to his guess. For 5 years, no one touched me. No one. Not one person. Not my wife, not my child, not my friends. No one touched me. They saw me. They spoke to me. I sensed love in their voices. I saw concern in their eyes. But I didn't feel their touch. There was no touch. Not once. No one touched me. What is common to you, I coveted. A handshake, a hug, a warm embrace, a tap on the shoulder to get my attention, a kiss on the lips to steal a heart. Such moments were taken away from my world. No one touched me. No one bumped into me. What I would have done to be bumped into or to be caught in a crowd, for my shoulder to brush against someone else's. But for 5 years, it has not happened. How could it? I was not allowed on the streets. Even rabbis kept away from me. I was not permitted in my synagogue. I was not welcome in my own house. I was untouchable. I was a leper. And no one touched me until today. Well, Max goes on to describe an even more touching and difficult experience for a leper. His own wife and daughters never holding his hand or patting his shoulder. He was truly and totally an untouchable, unclean, spiritually and physically castaway person. No one thought much about following the law on how to get back right after being healed, because that never happened. There were laws about how do you go to the priest and become declared clean. That never happened. He was, by all accounts, eternally separated from society, from health, and from God. The touching personal story, even though speculation or educated guessing, brought a tear to my eye when I read it. And despite his difficult life with leprosy and the feelings he had about it, in our text we see he treats Jesus with the greatest respect. He might have had every right to be angry or at least upset with his lot in life. He may have felt very sorry for himself, but yet he kneels, a posture appropriate for adoration and respect. He kneels and then calls Jesus Lord, which in Matthew's time and in usage of that day regularly referred to Christ's divinity. Yes, people had landlords. We use that word too. But this was a different word. This is Lord, God, Promised One, Messiah, Master. And you can fill in more blanks if you like. It was a term of the greatest respect. The leper did not likely worship Jesus or acknowledge him as God in the way Christians later would, but he had ultimate respect, and Matthew saw and described these gestures as appropriately foreshadowing a more explicit discipleship. And look what we can tell about his attitude. The leper has an astonishing, amazing confidence in Jesus' power. The story is told so simply, we almost miss it. He says, Lord, you can make me clean. Oh, remember? Audacious. Amazing. The faith that he had. He truly believed Jesus could cleanse him of his, let's say, curse. The illness, but all of the everything that went with it. Yes, make me clean physically from the sores on my body, but yes, make me clean spiritually so I can be welcomed and accepted again into my culture and into my family, into regular, real life. Lord, you can make me clean. This was unusual, especially in the light of the Jewish belief that cures of lepers were as difficult as resurrections from the dead. Now, that you can look that up in 2 Kings 5 if you like. At the same time, the leper defers to Jesus' sovereignty. He doesn't say, you can make me clean and you better do it. He says, you can make me clean if you're willing. What a humility. He knows Jesus can do it, not as sure if he will. He did not presume that he deserved such healing or that he could tell God what to do. These two ideas together are vital for all Christians in our prayers for healing. God can heal every illness, minor ones like a scratchy throat or major ones, if he's willing. Well, you read the story with Brother Betwin, and so you know that Jesus declared that he is willing, and he cures the man. But it's very important to notice how the text tells it. Some of these details are incredibly important. And here we find out that Jesus, before he heals him, extends his hand and touches him. Notice, please, the touch did not heal him. Doesn't say it did. Jesus touched him, and then said, I am willing. And he said, be clean. The word of the Lord healed him. Oops, sorry. It may be even more shocking than that. The word of the Lord healed him. But before he healed him, before he spoke a word of healing, he touched him. Amazing. Matthew's readers soon will learn that it was not necessary for Jesus to touch the man to heal him. And as I mentioned, the touching didn't do the healing. Later they would see that in verses 5 through 13. So Matthew is obviously making a point by means of this action that others would easily interpret as breaking the law by defiling himself, by touching the leper. Some people might get all upset about that. But whether or not Jesus actually defiled himself is debated, since the touch was part of the process of making him clean. But it's mostly irrelevant. Jesus' gesture made clear that he was not concerned with the taboos that others had. He was not upset by that, and he demonstrated that God's love extends to even the most outcast and unloved and untouchable people on earth. Even touching a leper made you unclean in Jewish and other laws, but not Jesus. He touched the leper and told him to become clean. Now, anyone who knows Jesus isn't all that shocked that Jesus healed him. Jesus healed many people. In fact, I don't know if anyone's done a reliable count, but it's most likely thousands of healings in Jesus' ministry. The cleansing, which was even more significant ritually than physically, the healing happened instantaneously. Be clean. He was clean. There's no gap in between for me to say, pfft, because instantly he was clean. No one could doubt that a miracle had happened. I know I said it, but let's think a bit about the shock that comes when Jesus touched him. I mentioned it was not the touch that healed. The touch was a genuine expression of compassion. It was tender and yet powerful, like a hug at just the right moment in pain and difficulty. The touch and word were grace and mercy directly from God himself. But notice that it was, as I said, the word of the Lord, be clean, after the touch that healed the man. Then comes another shock. Oh, not to us, because we don't know much about lepers and leprosy. Then another shock Jesus told him, don't tell anyone. All of you appropriately have a puzzled look on your face, and so do I. Why not tell anyone? What? Why should he not tell? Was he waiting on the man to follow the law? Was he telling him not to tell that he touched him because that was against their law? Or was he not wanting to get too much publicity? Well, maybe you have other questions, because there are lots of questions about this. Don't tell anyone. Why not? All his grief and difficulty were behind him now. All his loneliness and suffering. All of his feelings of isolation were now gone. He was able to return to his family, his wife and child, to his work and to his regular life. He saw the power of God at work in his body. Why shouldn't he tell? Shouldn't we tell anyone and everyone of the love of and touch and healing and power of our Master? We would have expected Jesus to encourage people to proclaim his deeds. That's maybe more our Western thinking than anything. This is often been called the messianic secret. It now seems that there is no one unified messianic secret motif in the Gospels, and that there are several various reasons why Jesus commands people to silence in such settings. Probably nothing more is implied by Jesus' words here than the newly cleansed leper should not be distracted from his responsibility to follow the procedures of the law. You could study up on that in Leviticus 14. But he could have easily become so overjoyed with his healing, his release, his liberation, his freedom, that he might have not obeyed God's commands. And that's something Jesus doesn't want. That's my guess as the most likely reason. You see, until Jesus' death and resurrection, the sacrificial laws remained God's will for his people. That Jesus never encouraged anyone to contravene them or disobey them during his lifetime. Never. So why not tell anybody? He doesn't want his kingdom misunderstood. He doesn't want the promised Messiah misunderstood. He doesn't need publicity. He owns the whole creation. You don't need a publicist for that. And so in effect, he's really telling this leper, don't stop on your way to see the priests. Let the testimony be seen for what it is, not just telling people, but showing them. This man could show him his arms, maybe lift up his shirt and show him that he no longer has the sores of the illness. But he could also show people by his freedom and new life in Christ. He's been healed of everything. He can now associate with everyone. Let people see what Christ does for those he heals, for those he claims. The leper then will bear witness to his healing precisely by making it public as he appears before the priest. That's what Jesus said. I'm not speculating. As a testimony to them. Your job, leper, now that I've touched you, now that I've healed you, you're to go to the priest and you're going to amaze them. You're going to tell them healing, freedom, forgiveness is in Christ. It's going to be a testimony to them. That's not just a sign of Matthew's conservatism regarding the law, as if the phrase meant to prove to others that Jesus was not a lawbreaker. It's not that simple. Jesus actually implies here that the man should testify to what he has done for him. But do it by showing the priests. Be a testimony to them, and them to the others. Jesus' healings will disclose, as we read more and more of the Gospels, his unparalleled, unmatched authority over sickness, matching the unique authority his preaching and teaching has already illustrated, as I mentioned before, his powerful preaching and teaching. The identical phrase recurs in chapter 10, verse 18, and in chapter 24, verse 14, where the testimony clearly refers to the good news of Jesus himself. The testimony to the priest wasn't just, I'm healed and Jesus did it. The testimony is, he's the Christ. He's the Lord. He has power over all kinds of things. Brother Bill pointed out how he taught the crowds, how he walked on water. He has power over the lake and the ocean. He has all the power and all the authority. I don't know if the leper grasped all that first day he was healed. I'm guessing it took him some time to absorb all those truths. But the testimony is of Jesus. In Mark 6:11, it even carries a sense of a testimony against them. And there may be slight overtones of that hostility here in this text too. Jesus does what the religious leaders cannot do, and he does it in a way that alienates them. They can't heal lepers. So, just briefly, we'll look a little deeper at this. We in our society view people as untouchable or unclean. Spiritually, socially, medically, sexual orientation. The more we consider untouchable, many more. What and who are untouchable? And to whom? Our culture wants us to accept things. Welfare and disability people, sexually and morally people of many kinds, takers, drug cultures and dealers, users, bar crowds, wrong side of the tracks, Chamorro or Chukis or Pompeian or whatever. We have distrust and dislike for people not like us far too often. There is no doubt we should not do such things ourselves as followers of Jesus. We won't get a chance, most likely in our lifetime, to touch a leper to express our compassion. We won't. I'm guessing that. I don't know. But we will have a chance to reach out and touch someone who we have or others have considered untouchable. Now, I'm not telling you that's going to be easy. You need to pray and be filled with the love of Christ and with the power of Christ and His Spirit to be able to break old molds and to really, really, truly reach out to people who need a tender and loving touch. If we would be more and more like Jesus, if we would be just like Jesus, our response should be identifying and reaching out to any kind of untouchables. Express with compassion the love that Jesus shared with us. Very old song, reach out and touch somebody's hand. That's the right idea. We should be experts at reaching out with compassion of Christ to all who need a touch or hug or help or guidance or encouraging word. We are to be known by our love. That's not news. We all knew that, right? But we need to reach out in love to anyone and everyone, no matter what we used to think of them or no matter what others think of them. We need to reach out and touch with compassion as Jesus did. I am happy to tell you that you will see what God can do with your hands when you touch others with His love. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for Jesus' brilliant, amazing, wonderful example to us of your love. Lord, we ask that you continue to help us to grow, help us to expand our thinking, help us to turn away from old thoughts that we've had about who might be untouchable in our culture and in our lives. Lord, help us to truly reach out with the compassion that you have given us to reach out to others. Lord, it's not possible in our own strength, but with you, all things are possible. And so, Lord, we submit ourselves to you. We ask you to come again to fill us and use us for your purposes and for your love. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name alone. Amen.